Now, perhaps you think I'm being unsympathetic with human beings and human aberration by speaking in this gross, even disrespectful tone of voice with regard to the poor, pitiful plight of people. Well, I am. Because the moment you understand a level of something and understand it well, see it operating under your hands, you don't have to worry about it anymore. It stops being serious. Why does it stop being serious? Because you can do something about it. And if you can take a case, run it on the e-meter, find out whether you're auditing an overt act or auditing a dead, you know what the pattern is, you know if the incident is sticky, there's something wrong, you either don't have the earliest motivator, you aren't auditing the overt act, or it's a dead, and it went on being motivated for just ages and ages and ages. For you. Because you did overt acts for just ages and ages and ages and ages, and it never happened to you, it never happened to you, and all of a sudden you'll buy off. You'll find yourself in parity, and you will think someday of the crimes you have done, and you'll realize that you're not supposed to do those crimes. The church, any church, you go on to almost any planet, and you'll find a church of some sort. This one's called the Church of Bish, and that one's called the Church of Tish, and that one's called the Church of Ugg, and another one's the Church of Bug. It doesn't matter. They're all bowing down to the great blank. The great blank is a dead. The church actually will educate people into being sinners and tell them to repent. And you can actually take a human being in off the street and you can say, all right, let's feel regretful. Think of all the things in your life you have to be regretful about. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? Let's regret it. What are you doing? You're turning time back. Let's get him to run time backwards. Let's get him to get ahead of every incident that he can get ahead of. Get ahead of every maybe he can get ahead of. Regret, regret, repent, repent, repent. You're a sinner, you're a sinner. You shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. After all, and the reason you shouldn't is because there's a mysterious and awesome being. And this mysterious being pervades everything. Everything, you can't escape him anywhere. And if he finds out you've sinned, oh, brother, you not only will be caught and punished in this life, but if you die, you'll be punished in the next life. So if you regret and you repent and you admit and you sin enough in this way against yourself, but make yourself more controllable for us, you'll be a good boy. You're going to get along. Because we're going to let you get along. Particularly if you pay us 5 slugs of gold, 2 talents, 1 jug of wine, a couple of spare bolts, anything that's legal tender, anything. You'll find this situation going forward. Now, you understand that I'm not telling you anything about no creator. If anybody can make anything like this out of it, he's a genius. What they're telling you is that the God you should worship is a control mechanism, the like of which you never heard of. But God, by definition, would be self-determinism. That's interesting, isn't it? I wonder what these people are all worshiping. Can't be God. That's an interesting fact. There must be a conflict there someplace. It must pay people to control people. Now, if you don't think that religion is a control basis and doesn't operate just in one direction, you should look at some of the implants on the track. You will find people that are most screaming atheists. Whoa, brother. Hate, 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 hate. You had all of Spain explode. You had tens of thousands of human beings being shot down, burned. You had gasoline being poured on nuns and monks and a torch being lit to them within our own memory. Just before World War II. Man, you talk about violence. And here was the most peace-loving religious country, the very heart and seat of Catholicism for centuries. Spain. And one day, they got a mass re-stimulation and revolted against their own implants on the line. And boy, it sure went up in smoke. And the implants that are there are capable of producing that much fury. Just like any implant is capable of suddenly turning itself around and exerting all the counter effort as an effort. And the fellow says, overt act or no overt act, I'm going to do it. Wham! It's a very dangerous thing to try to control something as powerful as a human being. Very dangerous. And every once in a while it explodes. It explodes with violence, as it did in Spain. Tens of thousands of people dying in agony and shot up all over the place, and the whole countryside waste, and their great church, nothing rebuilt even today, their economic system wasted, because all of a sudden, in a mass, wham, all of their religious compulsion implants exploded and went the opposite direction. Because religion aims at a dead, and they can go too far in a dead. Now, a dead goes this way. The person says, oh, I don't deserve what I've got. I don't deserve what I've got. And he finally goes into apathy and he says, all right, I deserve it. And he'll drive through apathy. And if you keep it up and you say, all right, you know you deserve it. You know you deserve it. You can kick him around just so long. You'll kick him on through the incident. And that's stupid. Next thing you know, he's coming up the other side of the incident again. And if he was capable for all those tens of thousands of years of doing all these overt acts independently and unmotivated, don't think he isn't capable of doing some more. Now that he's got a motivator and he's got a facsimile to do them with, he'll really wind this thing up like a South American bolo and let you have it around the neck. And that's what happens to religion. Religion always goes in the cycle. It goes in this repetitive cycle. When a religion decides to blow up, it does a beautiful job. Because a person repents and repents and repents and repents and then says, oh, too. That is why they always say there's nothing like a backslider to set an example for backsliding. It's much worse to be a backslider than never to have been and merely to have be without religion. That's why they say so. Sure it is. You get this thing re-stimulated and re-stimulated religiously and you go along fine and you say it's truth, and you go down and you pray and you ask for the new bicycle Christmas, and by golly, he doesn't give you a new bicycle. And you say, somebody's lying to me. You go out and you pray for rain, the drought gets worse and 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 gets worse. You pray and you pray and you pray and you give the new church a stained glass window and it still doesn't rain. Next year you put in an irrigation system. When you speak of the Creator, you're probably speaking of something entirely different than implanted religion. Religion is always different than truth. It has to be, because the only way you can control a people is to lie to them. And you can write that down in your book, very big letters. The only way you can control anybody is to lie with them. Lie to them. All right, now look. When you find an individual is lying to you, you know that the individual is trying to control you. Put that down. One way or the other, this individual is trying to control you. That's a mechanism of control. The individual's lying to you, so they're trying to control you. Because they give you enough misinformation, they'll throw you far enough down the tone scale so they can't control you. Conversely, if you see an impulse on the part of a human being to control you, you know very well that that human being is lying to you. Not is just going to, is lying to you. Check up the facts. You'll find out they're always true. That person is trying to control you. He's lying. He's got to tell you lies in order to continue control. Because the second you start telling anybody anything close into truth, you start releasing him. And he gets tougher and tougher to control. So you can't control somebody without telling them a bunch of fibs. You will find that command has this very often as its greatest weakness. It'll try to control instead of lead. And the next thing you know, it's lying to the crew, lying to the crew, lie, 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 lie. It gets worse and worse, and all of a sudden, thing blows up. Well, religion has done this. Organized religion tries to control. So therefore, it must be lying, and therefore it must know it's lying. After a while, it figures out that even itself knows it's lying. And then it starts on down tone scale and gets further and further and further. And people all of a sudden get down across this spring bottom. And are we going into apathy and die, or are we going to revolt? And they revolt. You can only lie to people so long. But fortunately, unfortunately, there's always a new cycle of lying. As I use the word religion, it has nothing to do with God. Now, look at this pattern. Look at this pattern. Overact, 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 and then all of a sudden the guy gets a counter effort. Beware, you great sinners. Yes, sir. The fellow will come up and say, oh, I'm really a sinner. He's really been a sinner, all right, but not in the same way you think. Ain't it a bad boy? Now, as these incidents come up here, this individual hits the counter-effort. If he hits a strong counter-effort, these incidents will ball up. Those incidents will ball right up on the track, and it'll fall up very strongly, because after he's gotten the counter-effort, he'll try to do the overt act, and he'll get the counter-effort and the overt act. You'll get this cycle repeating so that you make a chain. And the chain is maybes, 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 maybes. If you've got anybody who's got a time track that just isn't there, you can count on the fact that this dead situation exists. By the way, if you have anybody who's a wide-open case entirely and is completely clear all up and down the track, you can count on something else having existed. They've been rubbed out so thoroughly at the beginning of this life that the bank is missing. It's not missing, it's over there. But they can get a eidetic recall beautifully. What you're trying for is whole track eidetic recall. If you can get that, that's fine. But if you get a person who has one life eidetic recall, but who just, there's nothing past that, you know their whole facsimile bank has been parked sideways by force. You'll find this condition every once in a while. This person's been wiped out. This person then is more prone to a dead situation than other people, because anybody who's got pieces of the whole track showing all up the line, he can always pick up one of these things as motivators and do an overt act that has nothing in the head of it. He's all right, so he goes around, he cuts a few people's throats and so forth. He still stays sane. But one of these persons who is all wiped out at birth, wiped out, I mean, the nothing but straight, clear theta, and everything gets planted from there on the theta, and they just go along, and they make the facsimiles, and there they are, and they've got their genetic line facsimile somewhat, but they're completely wiped out. They're convinced that there is no life ahead of this life. The person is starting in with no motivators, because of just the fact that theta will try to overcome and control the physical universe. Just because of that factor by itself, this person in his childhood is bound to do some overt acts that come before counter efforts. This person can live a perfectly beautiful childhood as far as you can find out, and all of a sudden at the age of 10 be wound up in a ball. Just in horrible shape by 10. What'd they do? Bit of dog in the nose. And by the way, these people have a hard time. These people have a hard time. Because after that, they're rather pathetic. Now, the whole track situation makes it that the very early incidents are pretty mild. In magnitude, you got along all right because you're so high on the tone scale, hardly anything could phase you. And when you start to be hit by counter efforts on most of your chains, this is true. You get a counter effort, the motivator, as the motivator, and then you do it again. But you also got chains. There isn't anybody who hasn't got chains someplace that start out with a lot of overt acts with no counter effort. There isn't anybody who doesn't have this situation. But a person who is all wiped out in this life and starts in is bound to get this situation. So your wide open case is always pretty skinny. If they come right straight to you, they can audit these things. Boy, will they audit things done to them. You won't get them anything they've done to anybody else unless you've got them on an e-meter. That's typical of it. You say, did you ever do anything to anybody? No, no, bang, 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 bang. Well, take dogs. Did you ever do anything to dogs? Bang. Oh, no, I never did anything to dogs. Oh, did you ever do anything real bad to dogs? No, bang. And you say, well, did you ever bite a dog? Bang, bang, bang. Did you ever kick a dog? Bang. Stays on the pin. Did you ever shoot a dog or anything like that? Oh, no. No motion on the pin. You go back and you run these horrible overt acts of having pushed the dog out of the front door. And actually, you'll find they're effective. This person, in other words, is a synthetic person, really. This person is removed aside from all the past. This person's detached from all the past. This person gets over here into the swing of all the past and gets in contact with the past down the line. They're pretty much more capable. More capable. But this does not, by the way, mean that every case which has sonic and visio recall is a wide open case. You'll find that differentiated in Science of Survival. It is the psycho wide open. The psycho case who has eidetic recall and so forth that is the real puzzle that's been solved. And it's been solved because they get wiped out at the beginning of a lifetime. And they're living as a sort of a demon circuit. And it's a demon circuit that has sonic, visio, and so on. Somebody did a splendid job of them. Wonderful job, wiped them out. They're an erased slate. And they perform and behave. Usually they'll appear to be in good physical shape. They won't stay that way. They have very little drive. They have very little endurance. They have very weak persistence along certain lines. Now, I want you to take a look at that one more time. Because if you know this situation, you can audit one line. You can audit the whole track. And you can make well breakers. That's the combination. You can take apart maybes. And there isn't a maybe any place in any case, unless I'm very sure of, that cannot be disentangled by these techniques. There isn't an occluded case anywhere sufficiently occluded to resist these techniques. And anybody who wants to run a case to unocclude that case runs it with these techniques. And if you find a wide open case, run the wide open case with these techniques. Same thing. You don't have to audit them differently. Your occluded case is simply a balled up track. And your wide open case is somebody who's had all of his past shut off from him and he's living over here in a demon circuit. That's all that's left of him is a demon circuit. You can solve that too. But the way to solve that case is shut them down right now. You start auditing them and all of a sudden they say, my sonic, my visio, it's gone. You say, three cheers. We got them back on the whole track again. They weren't on this spur track anymore. They'll just shut right off. Bang. Second you start this case getting any better, no sonic, no visio, no tactile. Where am I? I'm gone. I'm lost. That's the end of that. Now, if you unravel all the maybes, wham, 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 on the line, they'll unocclude very nicely. But boy, will their ability and force pick up as you audit. They'll go right on up the line. Now, the one danger in auditing is to get a death and be agreeable and audit the counter evidence. You take a case that is very, very heavy on the side of dead incidents. You take that case and you audit the counter efforts, not these early overts. You don't let him audit anything he did to somebody else, but you just let him go on. You be agreeable. Sure. You let him audit the time he got strangled and the time he got run over by the truck and the time he got run over by the train and the time he got run over by the train and the fourth time he got run over by the train when he was 7 and the fifth time he got run over by the train when he was 10 and then all the prenatal train wrecks. Say nothing of the train wreck he had when he was being born. And you let him audit those, and he'll audit those so long, and pretty soon he'll get tired of those, and you start on in trucks. And then you'll get a truck, and he's run over by truck. And he's run. You get all the times he was run over by truck when he was 2.5. And all the times he was run over by a truck when he was 3. And then you get all the grief incidents. All the allies he's lost. I mean, this can go on and on. This is your dubbed-in case. This guy is manufacturing incidents and saying they're real. Why is he doing this? It's because he hasn't even got a strong enough counter effort to justify all of his overt acts anywhere on the track, and it's really balled up. So he's got to manufacture them. for you to even touch him. He says, I deserve all these things. He's got a few religious implants, and that's why I brought that up so strongly. Because that is the type of implant which plays the role in this Dubin case. The religious implant. That is what plays the role in a Dubin case. You look at a Dubin case, you say religious implants. It's like you say floor, foot. They're right together. Wonderful thing, too, these religious implants, they show you symbols. They're just full of symbols. There you are sitting in an electric field and it's pounding the devil out of you and beating you and so forth, and they hold up a cross, a rose cross, they hold up a church window, they hold up a this, they hold up a that. Religious symbolism. They're little symbols. They're on cards. They slide them in this way and they look at them this way, and they throw waves at you in patterns, and they throw lights on you which have religious symbols. Oh, it's wonderful. After you get, you get so respectful to a religious symbol. Boy, what's been done in the name of religion is wonderful. Some of those incidents are really rough. But they're only really rough because this fellow, later on, you see, got to be a member of the church himself and was telling people, well, brother, you're really a sinner. And if you'll step into the vestibule here, we'll fix you up for a prize. And this fellow, who is a very terrible atheist now and that tells you awful things about churches and all that sort of thing, oh, he's terrible. He's been in there selling it across the altar, whether it was peanuts or popcorn, just as long as it would bring in money. Goes in cycles. So don't feel too sympathetic about these religious implants. It's because you'll find him out there grinding with this little funny gimmick. But when the people are kneeling there, his job was to be behind this pillar and give them the business. That was his particular role in the church. After he'd done this for a while, it keyed him into the point because it had a backfire in it, you see. It actually had a back going wave as well as an outgoing wave, and it keyed him in up to the point where he confused himself with the congregation and did another switch. And if he's done the horrible situation of doing this under orders without it ever happening to him, with no religious plan earlier than this, he goes around planning everybody. Oh, is he in wonderful shape with regard to religion? Oh, God is on his trail. You start to run this life incidents, you start to run past lives, and the only thing he'll give you is a big dub-in. Yes, he nailed Jesus to the cross. The only thing that tells you is a tremendous number of overt acts without any counter effort ahead of them. And they probably have an actual facsimile of having nailed somebody up to a cross sometime or other. We've been so playful. Now, there is a general rule to follow. This is just a general, loose, rough rule to follow. That anything that is wrong with a preclear, the preclear has found wrong with or has made wrong with other human beings first. Anything you find wrong with a preclear, that preclear has made wrong with other human beings before he got in your hands. Anything. And that includes dying. That's something wrong with a preclear. Yeah, he lives for 70 years and kicks the bucket. That's a foolish thing. He gets old. He gets aged. Very interesting. Why should anybody get old? That's silly. Why does he do that? Well, there's always a practical reason and a stupid reason. The reason he wanted to get old, you eventually find him going along and getting old. Well, it's a very, very simple thing. Getting old is a very nice mechanism. It removes bodies from the track. You get awfully overpopulated if nobody... And furthermore, the reason people don't go along for 60 years and then suddenly die, being in good health for the 60 years, is the fact that in fighting back and forth, one with another, each for supremacy, they have a tendency to reduce each other down. Now, this planet's lifespan for man is 3 score years and 10. That has to do with gravity. Gravity adds in the counter effort of mist body, which is, after all, like a plant or like any other growing thing, composed of cells and growing ahead, has a tendency the last 3 score years and 10. It's a ratio to the gravity. On another planet, you'd have a different lifespan. Now, therefore, if you were to sit down, you carefully write down everything that you found fault with in the business of living. Anything you found fault with in the business of living, such as people get old, people get sick, children are abused, my life is boring, I find women intolerable, I hate men, let's see, I object to reckless driving. If you just went down a long list like this and you kept just finding more fault, the trouble is people forget their past lives. They don't have a memory, so they lose their skills in between. Anything is wrong. Any of these mechanical things that's wrong, make this nice long list of them. Or make your pre-clear, make this nice long list of them. And then just pick them up from word one, start putting them on the e-meter. When's the first time you wanted somebody to get old? When's the first time you wanted somebody to die? When's the first time you wanted somebody to have their past lives wiped out so they wouldn't remember? When's the time you wanted somebody to be tractable? When did you want people to get tired? When did you drive recklessly and hurt somebody? Bang, bang. You go back lives, you go back thousands of years, you go back millions of years, hundreds of millions of years, billions of years, hundreds of billions of years, trillions of years, but you'll find them. Every single one of them, there'll be a big business, and they'll be wrapped up in either this style or this style. You'll find for each one that sort of a situation. You find this fellow has a terrible, strange somatic. It's around his face all the time. The somatic's around here. And it's just, it's funny. It feels vibrant and gets hot and it gets cold and so forth and so forth. And you say, well, all right, let's start auditing it. Put it on an e-meter. Start in on the thing. How long ago did this take place? Find out how long ago it took place. Find out what the overt act is. Don't bother to audit it very much. Just not find out what it is until you find out what the overt act is. Then find out if the overt act occurred earlier. Differentiate, find out if it's just a straight situation or a dead situation, deserved situation. If it's a deserved situation, it really should have happened to him anyhow, you'll find it much tougher to handle. But you'll just go back and run these earlier unmotivated situations, the thing will resolve. This fellow says, you know, the trouble with me is I would have been happy in this life. I'd have been happy in this life except that. And they give you some reason. You say, okay. Don't just take him up on it because that's a nasty, dirty trick of invalidation in itself. Wait a second or two. It's all right. When did you fix up this? You say when you were a little kid, you were sick an awful lot of the time. Was it ever desirable to you to have children ill? Oh, no. Bang. You find out that this little boy was sick all the time, would desire to be sick all the time. He was always involved in fights. And every time he went to school, he got a big solution. He found out that the biggest bully in school was giving him the most trouble. One day didn't come to school, and the next day when he came to school, looked pale and wan, and he kicked him in the stomach and licked him. So he said, gee, what a wonderful situation. So therefore, every kid that came along, threw any race right, and crossed his track in any way, shape, or form, or stole his lunch or something like that, he'd look at him and say, I wish he was homesick in bed. And he did this, and he did this, and he did this, and this is just in one lifetime. And of course he was sick all during his childhood. I had a very interesting experience. I ran a little girl who was, she'd only been on crutches for a very short time, but she was actually doomed, scheduled to be on crutches for a long time afterwards. And I ran all the overt acts of kicking. One leg was in bad shape. I ran all the overt acts of kicking. I ran an experiment. I ran a grief chart. And then I just ran every impulse she'd ever had to kick anybody. By the time we got through, we had thousands of these impulses to kick people in the shins, to kick the piano, to kick grandma, to kick this one, to kick that one. Boy, she was kick, kick, kick. I tried to run that one out in one life. It did not release, by the way, in one life. But it improved very markedly by running all these kicks. So here was this person who had suddenly come down, with actual, complete paralysis in one limb. And what do we start auditing? Do we start auditing her getting paralyzed in one limb? No. We started audit overt acts to somebody who was paralyzed in one limb. Then we start to audit times when she wanted to use that limb destructively, times when she hurt somebody else's leg. And we just went on along this line, whammy, 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 whammy. She threw her crutch away in a matter of hours. I tell you about that little girl, all I did was just get overt acts about using that limb wrong. So she got to the point where she restrained that limb to the point where she paralyzed it. She restrained that limb till she paralyzed it. You'll find out this is a typical case. This is typical paralysis. If you really want to get this thing solved, instead of auditing and auditing and auditing and auditing, you go on back down the track and find out when she was shot in half, or when she had an electronic incident which gave it to her, or when she, and then she's got this good and solid, and she's just about to feel sorry for herself, and they did this. You say, all right, when were you on the mucky end of this thing? On what? Well, when did you grind this machine at people? Well, come on. Come on. Well, I never did, wham. Here we go. And all of a sudden we find out that maybe she was the person who brought the people up to be ground at. And that was always the side she stayed on. She stayed on that side, and actual blasts at people that she was luring in there were kicking back at her a little bit, and they eventually paralyzed her. Just laid in an engram to that degree. This is the sort of an incident you will find. What is the benefit and value of running such an incident? Well, people. We talked about producing miracles back in the December conference. Actually, it was very possible to do so. But it's not just possible to do so now. You're just a terribly bad auditor if you can't. I mean, you're just unbearably bad if you can't. You take this information, and if it doesn't produce fast results for you, I mean, that's serious. That's very serious. You ought to go get your mind examined. How do you make things real to a pre-clear? You audit him all the way through the cycle. How do you turn on perceptics? You audit them all the way on through every maybe there is. What is the standard pattern of a track? The standard pattern of a track should be counter effort, overt act, thought pattern. That's your standard pattern. Now don't think for a moment that this pattern has changed any in a dead, because it's not. It's simply that all these overts are ahead of the counter effort. So when the counter effort happens, the person says, gee, this is serious. Down here, he didn't say this is serious. He just said this shouldn't happen to me. He said, gee, this is serious. So now he gets this pattern becomes a deeper, more serious pattern because he feels he really does deserve it by justice and equity. It's a debt, a deserved action. Now, you take apart maybes by establishing this, and this is the way they run. You run each one of these incidents out by running everything you can get in the incident. Thought, emotion, effort, counter-thought, counter-emotion, counter-effort. And attention units. And attention unit running isn't just what happens to your preclear. It isn't how the waves go in at him or how the hollow spots are in him. Oh, no. Attention unit running is the pattern of attention units in the victim, too. Because when you run attention units, that is just a technique of tracking, and that follows this situation. So you've got to undo your maybe, but you can undo your maybe in this way. So you get this fellow, he has an electronic rifle of some sort. He keeps firing this electronic rifle. He fires the electronic rifle at somebody, right? This is all you can find that has to do with an overt act, and his jaw is sort of paralyzed. That's how time he's done. Up to the time he comes here, he's talking this way all the time. And you audit this electronic incident out, and of course nobody knows there's anything on the whole track at all. And after that, he stays perfectly normal like anybody else. But when you try to run this overt act incident, what do you run? He can't get the jar of this gun. There's no reality to it. He can't get the fire of it. He can't get the sizzle of it. He can't get any perceptics on it. How do you run this? Now, a tension unit running is the only thing that makes possible for you to run incidents below the level of perception. You can track attention units at a lower level than you can perceive. In other words, from apathy, grief, fear, these lower emotions, lower tone scale emotions, the perceptics have just disappeared. But you can still track the attention units. So we have found a substrata of running that permits you to run fear, grief, and apathy with no difficulty. So how do you get him firing this electronic rifle? That's very simple. He fires the electronic rifle because he can feel the stream of sparks going out of it. He can feel something leading it. And you run it a few times, and all of a sudden he can feel something running in his face here. And there's an emanation point way out here. He feels this thing running way out here. He tracked units out here somehow. And all of a sudden he says there's a white spot out there. All right, get the white spot. Track it again. Track the white spot again. Track the white spot again. Now what do you get? He says, you know, there's something coming back from that white spot. I can't make the stuff stay there. What have you tracked through to? You've tracked it through its echo. It's hit the target, and he's getting the kickback from the target. And that's really what had his face pinned. And so you run this thing all the way through, you run it all the way through, and all of a sudden his face isn't paralyzed anymore. It's perfectly in good shape. Of course, if there's a social stigma against something, you want to be very good children and never under any circumstances go against any social mores. And if the social mores tell you not to audit any whole life track incidents, don't audit them. Even if they make it pretty clear well, so forth, don't audit them. Because the point is to be obedient, not efficient. No matter how wild the incident seems to be that your free clear is running, and you, the incidents I'm going to tell you about tomorrow night, you're going to find wilder ones than that, probably. And they're wild enough to really drive anybody wild. And by the way, they have been doing so. They've been driving people wild for a long time. Now, the incidents that we're interested in are all below anger. All below anger on the tone scale. So about the only way you can run them is by attention unit tracking. Now, you run the attention units away from the person. Here you're running the attention units on the overt act, and you're running it at a distance from the individual. In other words, you're running an attention unit pattern in the victim. Now, you hit somebody in the nose. Make somebody hit somebody in the nose. Little boys, two little boys having a fight. Try attention unit running on a rather high scale. Any occluded case, by the way, can run by attention unit. That's the beauty of it. All right. You hit this little boy in the nose. You say, all right, get the attention unit pattern in the little boy's nose. I can't do that. Well, feel the attention units moving or not moving in his nose when you hit him. Well, I can't do that. Well, go on, try it. Well, they sort of squash. Well, now try it again. Now, where does his nose go dead? Does any part of it go dead? Yeah, about the center of it. Say, there's something funny happening to my nose, he'll say. Because what's happening? You're running the actual re-echo of counter-emotion. Only you're running it by unit. You're running it by masses of units. You're getting the echo, the kickback. He's a living being, and he can emanate. And that's the danger of him. That's the danger in going around and messing people up. It isn't that it's immoral. It isn't that you ought to be restrained with clubs or anything of the sort. It's just the fact that it happens to be dangerous because it comes back against you. So the next time you knock somebody's brains in, make sure you audit out the counter splash of their All right, that is this situation here. Again, you start auditing by attention unit flow in a dead, and the guy is much more liable to come up and try to run that counter effort. And he's much more liable to have a balled up track. So you can run the vaguest concepts of attention unit. the fellow can't see anything about attention units at all. He's what attention units? He finally locates them. There's a ridge way out here. So he runs this ridge. This little tiny spot way out here. And he says, it makes my right foot hurt. Makes my right foot hurt. Now, that's silly. Where is it on the track? It's just impossible to locate. He just don't know anything about it at all. But he can run this. You make this fellow look around for a long time before you find that. Now you find a little hollow spot in his right shoulder. And you run it, you run it, and all of a sudden it's a hard spot. You run the thing's getting a ridge on it. And you run it, and you run it, and you run it. And he runs this up here. Pop, pop, pop. Whatever that is. It's kind of broader now. And he runs this hole. Only it's not a hole, it gets solid. And then it's all solid here. And then all of a sudden it starts hurting like mad. And all of a sudden his eye starts hurting. Oh! And then he orders this a little bit. And he orders the eye, a little hole. And after he's gone for a while, all of a sudden he gets perceptive. And he says, the son of a gun stood right there and fired this pistol and went through this eye and blew out this shoulder. Huh. You know right away if his attitude is that on it. Why, there probably isn't any overt act going on. I mean, he at least got that far. You got some incident that's almost off the chain. You can go chasing around and looking for times he shot people in the shoulders, and you can audit those and so forth. You've just taken one little tiny layer off the maybe. What was lying open in this case? For years, he'd been carrying around and didn't hardly realize that a little spot up here that was a little lighter than the rest of the dim dark in which he was considerably locked up. There was one spot. And you started in with a tension unit running on that one spot, and the case blew wide open. But you take it off layer by layer by layer by layer by layer by layer by layer. All of a sudden, you got the track lying out there straight. And I hope that's good news for occluded cases. Because it works. Now, there are two or three here who are having somatics that are hanging up. And it's very easy to solve that. All you have to do is get the overt acts, which made a duplicate somatic. In other words, they've got a somatic that feels like their jaw has been carried away by something. Well, get them carrying people's jaws away, and all of a sudden, you'll find the incident's clearing up, and they're getting very happy about the whole thing. And if it makes them happier to run them knocking off people's jaws, well, let them do it. All right, I hope I've made myself clear on these facets of this running. This is more detailed, more factual, and better tested than some of this data which has been heard before. But I would like very much for you to do a couple of tests. I noticed a couple of pairs of glasses here. Do a few tests on this attention unit running. And it's just pure cussedness, if any of you are wearing glasses. Just cuss it. They're just doing it to spite me. And by the way, don't fall into the error of thinking that every time anybody computes a thought, which is overt one way or the other, or deserved, and so on, that they are immediately guilty on that line of track, because they can actually dub them in and think them up. Because I ran out 4 days ago putting out this girl's eyes. It's been run out. So I have no engramic pattern to make work by making you take your glasses off. I just think you ought to take your glasses off, that's all. But I don't think you ought to take your glasses off until you can see. And therefore, I think you ought to go through the process and principles which will make it possible for you to pick up your vision. Now, I'm warning you that if you start this process, you might wind up 55 hours later from now clear or something. So don't take it lightly. Don't start into this unless you intend to keep on going with it. You can also take up this process and wind in the middle of a mess of apathy and be that way for days and be so apathetic that you won't want to run that out at all. Well, if you find yourself getting apathetic, just tell somebody that you're getting apathetic and let them audit you a little bit further through the thing, or merely pick yourself up by the back of the neck and don't get apathetic till the next time you run it. Very easy to do. Now, as far as incidents are concerned, types of incidents, who did these overt acts? Who started these overt acts? How did they begin? How did they end? There's a terrible libel going around. Somebody is, several people have told me, you started these overt acts. Now, I understand it was you who started doing this fact one to people, so forth. Well, I'm being accused of everything these days. And this is utterly impossible. It's utterly impossible. Fact one, so-called, occurred 1 million to 1,250,000 years ago, according to the average bop on the meter. And in messed universe time and on messed universe track, I wasn't on messed universe track 1 million or 1,250,000 years ago, or as far as that's concerned, 15,000 years ago. Well, I haven't been on your track, so don't get me mixed up with you. If you want to get rid of these facsimiles, or you want to blame these facsimiles on somebody, put them on your auditor.